Welcome to Skills of the Future, a podcast by Perennial Talent. In this mini-series, we explore the skills and competencies needed to face the new realities of work.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, Skills of the Future, and our mini-series on HR Game Changers, Skills and Competencies Needed to Face the New Realities of Work. My name is Andrea Butler, and I'm a principal consultant and co-founder at Perennial Talent. My guest today is Julia Murphy. She recently joined Fisher & Paykel, a global designer and manufacturer of luxury home appliances, as their Senior Director of People and Capability for North America. Prior to this, she was the Director of Talent Management for a Southern California-based office furniture manufacturer, where her team was responsible for designing and championing programs to identify and select, onboard, and grow their talent. As an HR professional with a non-traditional background, Julia has spent the last 15 years partnering with leaders across various industries, including healthcare, consumer products, and manufacturing. She has delivered talent solutions that maximize both employee effectiveness and engagement. She believes passionately that people are truly an organization's most valuable resource. As a mother of three kids under four, when Julia is not working, you can find her having living room dance parties with her twin daughters or chasing her recently mobile son around the house. If today's listeners have any tried and true parenting hacks for the young kiddos, please do send them her way. Welcome to the show, Julia.
Thank you so much, Andrea. I appreciate you having me.
Perfect. So let's start with our hopefully fun icebreaker question for you. What is the best thing that you have watched or read lately that you would recommend?
I recently have gotten into the series called The Playbook on Netflix. So it's a documentary series featuring some of the best coaches of our time. People like Doc Rivers or Jill Ellis. She was the coach of the two-time World Cup women's soccer team. It's just a series about world-class coaches and sharing their rules for success in life and sport. And as someone who has competed in sport her whole life, I have always taken lessons that I've learned on the court and been able to apply them off the court. So I just love this series because it's these elite coaches that are just really normal people who through hard work and focus and a curious mindset have developed an extraordinary skill to really build people, build teams, and build culture. And so it's just been really fascinating and I've enjoyed it. And it's one of those series that I feel like I could watch over and over again and still get more and more nuggets out of it. So that's been kind of fun to do during this time.
Oh, I'll have to check that out. It sounds like it would be really useful if you're looking at it from maybe like a leadership development lens there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. Well, let's move on then to our more HR-themed questions then. So how would you say, from your point of view, you think the world of work has changed, and what has been the impact of more and more employees working remotely?
Oh, man. How has work not changed? I feel like it's probably the easier question. I recall back to the conversations that we were having in late April with our leaders around, you know, challenges of collaboration, connectivity, technology, and just the discussions focused often on like what was not working. And I just had to remind our leaders that, you know, we've worked in person our entire lives, and our parents and their parents have worked in person. And so this was really a radical change, and the transition was abrupt at that. And so it was going to take time to really work through the kinks. And so I think there's been some really obvious impacts to more employees working remotely. For one, you know, we now have been forced to rely on technology more than ever before. And this is really going to continue even after the pandemic, as evident, you know, from the moves we're seeing in M&A, like, you know, the highly publicized acquisition of Slack by Salesforce. Zoom and Microsoft Teams, these were tools that many organizations already had in place prior to the pandemic, but we're now seeing people leverage them in completely new ways. You know, even as basic as, you know, utilizing Microsoft Teams to call people versus using your cell phone, and you're not even doing video, just using it as a medium for communication. So there've been a lot of obviously technology implications, but there've been so many other impacts to employees working remotely. You know, another thing is really if you live in a highly populated area, like myself, I'm in the greater LA area, you know, we're no longer fighting traffic or dealing with, you know, long commutes. And this has had a direct impact to productivity and just overall employee mental health. You know, employee wellness is another one. It's harder to know how your people are doing during this time. So, you know, it's typically for talent professionals like myself, you know, we're by the nature of our jobs, we're more outgoing and we have that need for socialization. And so I think this is true for many individuals in our organizations. And it's really challenging to fill that need right now. So without seeing people all day, it's easier for people to put on a front or a mask of being okay for the 30-minute Zoom call and then, you know, hang up and you don't really know how they're doing. And so I'd say definitely employee wellness is an impact as a result of us working, you know, more remotely. And then the last thing I'll just mention, which I'll touch upon a little bit later, is just the rise of employee expectations, specifically around flexibility. You know, working remotely has blurred the lines of, you know, work and life like never before. And there will be some significant impacts as a result, both, you know, things watch out and also positives that can come from this. So those are some of the impacts I think that have been or have resulted as employees are working more remotely.
Absolutely. And just doing some of these podcasts before, the idea of employee wellness has come up before. So I'm just wondering, from your research or your experience, have you found any particular strategies that kind of help promote employee wellness during these challenging times?
Yeah, I mean, I think one is being very intentional. So I think we thought a lot about like wellness, more physical wellness, and there were programs, you know, in person when we were on site to do that. But the mental wellness was really more left to like, oh, we've got an EAP, you know, employee assistance program that you can reach out to for counseling or for services. But it was really kind of, at least in the organizations that I worked with, more of an afterthought or a sidebar. Now we've seen organizations put that front and center. So even things like incorporating mental wellness into performance management, you know, and actually checking in with employees and making a safe space for them to say they're not okay. We, at my last organization, we had a mental wellness week where we featured, you know, lessons. We had the EAP actually come in and speak about it. We had almost like an EAP launch party. So really publicizing it, making sure employees were aware of what resources did exist and what they could do to reach out. And then again, putting more ownership on the managers, the leaders, to really drive those conversations, to make sure it's a focal point. And it's not just about getting the work done, it's about how their employees are doing. Because at the end of the day, if their employees are not well, it's not going to translate to great business results.
Absolutely. So thinking of the talent life cycle, whether that's hiring or learning and development or career development, what do you think the biggest need or greatest changes there have been that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, hiring alone has been, hiring and onboarding, there's been significant changes there. So prior to the pandemic, it was really a challenge for us to get our leaders to even complete video interviews for the first rounds of the process. And we would have never thought of hiring somebody without physically meeting them in person. And that's really all changed. And so I think it's just the, you know, some of the needs are the flexibility, the need to considering assessing talent in a different way, and then onboarding that talent. I mean, we had a really extensive onboarding program where we walked employees from day one through the first week of, you know, our culture, our values. You know, the functional leaders would present out, so people understood how everything got kind of connected and what their role was in that broader mission. And all of that's been flipped on its head in terms of how we do that and how we integrate. And it's had to be even more intentional. And so I'd say the need is to be more intentional. The need is to relook at your programs and your processes, because the employee experience and the employee life cycle is disrupted working virtually. And so you can't assume that the programs and the processes that you put in place, you know, prior to the pandemic are going to be effective now and even after, because we all know, you know, the buzzword, the new normal, you know, things will never be the same as they were prior to the pandemic. And I think that that's a very good thing, a very positive thing. But you have to assume that you have to look at every process and program. So I think the in addition to hiring and onboarding, I think, you know, culture is one of the conversations we had within the first 2 weeks of going, you know, and kind of working remotely, is this idea that, you know, what are the aspects of our culture that should stay the same? They're core to who we are, to how we operate. And we feel very strongly that we need to figure out how to create that make sure that those elements thrive, you know, whether that's accountability or connectivity or honesty. And then what are the things that really need to adapt and change? You know, is your culture, Ashley, is your culture inclusive? You know, are there aspects that need to be revisited to create more of an inclusive culture where you can drive greater innovation and greater diversity? And then the last thing I'll just say is development. I think, you know, everyone's been forced to, you know, make their programs virtual. And for us, that's been a really positive experience. You know, we had multiple locations, and it was always, training was facilitated at our headquarters, and then we would have people call in or Zoom in for it. And it wasn't really an equal or level playing field for those people that weren't on site. And so now it's 100% virtual, our management development programs, which we've continued running. We had at Exemplus through the entire pandemic, because we felt like it was more important than ever to make sure our leaders felt supported and had the skills that they needed to lead their teams. And so now we've seen, whether you're a VP or a director or a first-time supervisor, this virtual setting has really leveled the playing field, and everyone has an equal voice and is able to participate and gain insights from one another. And so that's been a really exciting takeaway, but it definitely a challenge and a change that needed to happen.
Absolutely. And moving beyond the talent lifecycle, what skills or competencies do you think are particularly important right now for an organization?
Yeah, so I mean, I know everyone's talking about this, but it's so true, resiliency. There's a really good TED Talk that I shared with my team. We started this thing called Thinking Thursday. So kind of this idea of creating a learning mindset even during the pandemic. And Lucy Hone talks about like three really practical approaches to building resiliency. And so something to check out. So I'd say resiliency, adaptability, as I talked about our leaders, just the mindset to shift, both from a people leadership perspective, but also from a business perspective. You know, organizations that were built for just-in-time manufacturing, like Exemplus was, really needed a shift. How they were able to get, you know, PPE in, how we were able to adapt our business model from being a, you know, we were predominantly, you know, office furniture solutions. Well, nobody was in the office. And so how do you adapt that? So we had expanded into doing dividers for healthcare or work from home equipment and furniture. And so that adaptability, I think, is really important. I'd say empathy. So it's the emotional intelligence. So being human, and as basic as that sounds, that is a skill. I'll put it that way. Some people more naturally have empathy. Other people have to work harder at it. But I think that's something that both our employees and our customers are expecting and need to see out of their leaders. And then the last thing I'll say, you know, is just innovation. So this growth mindset or this solution orientation, it's the, you know, we can never versus how can we, and the what if questions. And that was something that we, competency or skill, we were already trying to build in our kind of high potential leaders. But it's something that I think at every level across the organization, having that growth mindset and that solution orientation is a skill that has to be developed and cultivated.
Absolutely. As the COVID-19 situation has taught us, no one has a crystal ball, but you do have to be able to plan for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I really do believe, Andrew, that starts with your leaders. You know, absolutely. I think that right now, a significant amount of focus should be on developing those leaders, equipping your leaders to be able to manage through this. You know, employees experience your organization and your culture through their leader. And so this should really never be underestimated. So it's, you know, creating that psychological safety right now. It's, you know, resetting standards. It's okay to have, you know, your kids Zoom bomb you in a meeting. You don't have to apologize every Thursday when the trash truck is outside your house. It's just that, you know, checking in and really listening, like, how are your employees doing? Reprioritize their work, and being able to lead through the gray. And I think some organizations and cultures are a little bit better with dealing with the ambiguity than others are. But I think that's something that even if you have been working in a highly ambiguous environment, this, you know, 2020 has created even more ambiguity on top of ambiguity. And so I think helping your leaders be able to navigate through that. And some of it is, you know, just creating the space, creating a forum for talking about it, for the resources. But I think also it's that mindset of transparency and just the human element, the empathy element, is a way to be able to navigate it.
And I think you're somewhat touched upon this question, next question, but in terms of what an organization can do to prepare its employees for the future, what do you think they can do to make sure they have these skills that are really going to be needed to navigate all this change?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that upon what you just said, I think a lot of people talk about creating a culture of learning, and I think of it creating a culture of curiosity. And this extends beyond just the learning and development function, beyond HR. I think it's the curiosity, so it's that critical thinking mindset to be able to navigate the challenges that we've been faced with in 2020 and the challenges that we're going to face, you know, even beyond the pandemic. So, you know, creating a safer environment where people can ask questions, where people can fail, they can try things and they can fail, and where that's almost celebrated. And not repetitive failure, you know, as one of the podcast speakers talked about, but where, you know, you learn from that, right? You have those takeaways. So creating an environment where it's safe for people to take risks, and because that's really where you get, you know, your biggest growth. And I think the other thing, which is a little bit more practical and something that's coming ahead, is just helping leaders manage hybrid teams. So that is something, and we can talk more about that as we look for the future. But right now, a lot of individuals are either managing, you know, in manufacturing environments, where you're managing a team that's on site, but there's so many nuances and changes to the way that they're operating, from being socially distanced or the schedules or kind of the shift in terms of availability and of talent, to people are, you know, 100% remote, and they're managing a remote team. And then as the pandemic subsides, we're now going to see a lot of organizations, I believe, going to more of a hybrid workforce model. And so your managers are now going to be managing teams that are on site, that are virtual, maybe 100% virtual, maybe some of them work sometimes in the office, sometimes remote. And that's a completely different skill set in terms of how do you drive culture and collaboration and connectivity. And so I think that's something that we need to be thinking about, how we prepare our leaders to manage those truly hybrid teams.
Absolutely. And what do you think the future threats or pain points would be if an organization doesn't do what you just said and start looking towards the future to drive sort of that culture collaboration?
Yeah, I think there's real threats to the business, to the success of an organization. You know, I think now is the time, you know, the shock of 2020 has passed, where there is a light at the end of the tunnel in terms of a vaccine coming. And so I think there really has to be a mind shift of organizations and leaders to focus on the future of work versus firefighting the here and now, which was very much a reality and something that we needed to do, you know, back in you know, April and in June. But now I think we need to start focusing forward. And so some of that really is going to be around, I truly believe, a hybrid workforce model and the implications that has to the employee experience, to the company culture, to the value proposition, both for your employees and for your customers. You know, I think that there are a lot of, from a pain point, I mean, the rise of expectations of employees on flexibility. The pandemic has not impacted every industry the same. And so where you may think, hey, I'm not going to have a retention issue, employees are thankful just to have a job and to have stability here, that's not the case in every industry. Some are thriving. If you work in the fitness industry or alcohol sales or technology, they're booming. And so there is definitely your best people are going to have opportunities. And so I think you need to think about, you know, how do you continue to retain and attract and re-recruit your talent within the organization. And some of that is going to be around the value proposition has shifted. You know, now employees can do their jobs virtually. And there was always this argument that, well, we don't have the technology or we can't collaborate. And we've proven that isn't exactly true. And so now organizations need to think about what is that new value proposition and what's the impact on our customers, not just our employees. So I think that that's going to be a big shift. And if you don't, other organizations are going to. And so you want to be, I think, a competitive edge as an employer, as a business, is going to be being on the front end of these changes and being able to capitalize on that versus kind of being pulled along and reacting to what other people are doing. So having a plan in place of how you're going to drive it and what's best for your culture, for your organization, is going to be really important for leaders, not just for HR professionals.
Absolutely. Being a little bit more proactive, as you said, will certainly set you up for success. So I'm just curious if you had any advice for folks that are maybe, you know, starting to look at those key competencies and maybe it's their first time. Is there anything you'd recommend that they consider?
Even from like an organizational standpoint?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's first to kind of break it down. You know, we shared with our executive team some of the, you know, just trends, you know, what's happening out there. So I think it's always great to understand, you know, what's the market saying, what are best practices. So I think it's important to look outside, not just look inside your organization, but, you know, what are the technology considerations, what are the people considerations, and what are the job considerations to make sure that as you're designing that future workforce model, whatever that is, that you're taking into account. Because again, it's not just an HR thing. There's technology implications. There's real, you know, customer implications to these changes, and figure out what are those advantages and opportunities first. You know, I'll be give you a great example of it. So for us, we have a customer example, sorry, as I transition this new role, customer experience is, you know, the bread and butter of our business, how we have a limited number of customers. And so how we treat them is really important. And so if we can't service them because we're based only in one time zone, there's a real opportunity there. And so if we decide to make positions, you know, location agnostic, and we can hire customer experience reps in Texas or in the Northeast or the Midwest, that creates opportunities whenever there are disruptions, whether it be natural disasters or power outages or technology issues, that we can always have somebody up and running in some time zone to service our customers. And so while you may lose a little bit of efficiency from having everyone based in the same area and some of the, you know, shared learnings, what you gain in resiliency may be worth that trade-off. And so I think it's important for organizations just to think differently about how work gets done from the traditional 40-hour full-time benefited position to other ways of doing work. And I think that's one of the biggest opportunities that companies have and can a good place to start.
Absolutely. Could not agree more. That was the last question, though, that I had for you. Was there anything else that you wanted to add before we sign off?
Yeah, I think the only other thing I'd just say is, you know, unlike we mentioned, unlike the financial market crash of, you know, 2008, 2009, the global pandemic has impacted every industry, every organization and person in a drastically different way, you know, from fitness versus hospitality, e-commerce versus brick and mortar retail, rural versus urban areas, families, you know, where you're overwhelmed by everyone being in the same house versus individuals that are completely isolated at home for months. You know, this has impacted people on so many different levels, you know, financially, physically, mentally. And I think it's just this idea that, like, as organizations, you know, it's no longer, you know, you have your home life and you have your work life. Everything has become so integrated. And so our responsibility as organizations and as leaders are to be kind, you know, to have a global mindset and to ultimately find the good, you know, find the positivity, find the good, and be able to support one another in a very, very integrated way than ever before. And I think that's the exciting thing of being a you know, people or HR professional, is that we've really had an opportunity to show the value that we can bring to organizations and directly to, you know, the business. And it's exciting. And I think there's only, you know, more opportunity for our profession in 2021 and beyond. So it's very exciting.
Hear, hear. Well, I do want to thank our guest today. Thank you, Julia, for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, if you have any questions about anything that we've talked about today and want to reach out to Julia, the best place to do so would be on LinkedIn. So thanks everyone for listening.